You're listening to the Groundswell Sermon Podcast, a brand new church in the Halton region, Ontario, Canada.
And I know it's a special day for many other lovely people here today as well. So happy Mother's Day to you. So excited for you. It's such an honor of a calling as a mother. God calls you to rear children and to help shape and form them and love them and help show them a way forward. So I'm feeling so sick today. I feel like I want my mommy, right? So it's a good day. We all have that thing though, right? There's this sense of like something about our mom, right? It has a place in your heart that's beyond all others. It's quite the phenomenon. And so I'm really proud. My daughter, Selah, came up with a plan for our lovely mother of the children, my Megan. And she thought, I don't play, like, Megan's always kind of frustrated how messy the car is. And it never kind of gets solved because layer after layer after layer, all the kids, everyone in and out, even a big kid. And so she said, let's clean up the car for mom. So we got up early yesterday, all came out, and we started cleaning the car. And I have some pictures here. So there's the Windex, and we're ready to go. But if you notice here, there's a lot of hay. Because we had hay bales for the chicken that came out. So, and the hay was everywhere. That was one of the things I think annoyed me the most. It was like somehow the hay got into everything, right? So we got rid of the hay. And then we had everything spread out. We just dumped everything on the front lawn. And then we just started going to work, right? So trying to make sure it works. There's Dominic vacuuming the front lawn and trying to make sure those things are all clean. And you can see little Bishop even trying to help. And then Selah and Justice are scrubbing. And Bishop was also another part of this conundrum because he's trying to help, but he's less helpful than he is. You know, he's more in trouble than he's worth. But he was part of the festivities. And it was such an amazing thing to think, because then they wanted to go get their mom up, right? And we try to let her sleep in. I'm sure she didn't wake up there and knew what was going on. But we just called, hey, mom, come downstairs. And to see her be like, wow, and their eyes light up, right? To be able to bring joy to their mother. In order to have a sense that their mother has pride in them and love for them. And she does it all the time, obviously. But there's nothing quite like having your mom's love and knowing that you're secure in that, no matter what comes and what goes. And that's the same love that we're to understand that God looks at us with. A love that's even more powerful, even if that's unfathomable to us, than a mother's love for her children. That's how God looks at you. So I want to turn to John 1. And remember, John 1, this is the very beginning. He's talking about very fantastic things about Jesus being God. He's talking about Jesus coming to earth and taking on flesh. And then one of the things he talks about is the purpose of this. He says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. This is a very powerful thing to think about. Because I think a lot of us, we like to think about what does it mean to be a child of God? We hear these songs, we talk about them. And a lot of times you hear the term, even outside of Christian circles, right? We're all God's children. And you know what? In a certain sense, that's very true. In one sense, we are all children of the Creator. God created all of humanity. If we turn to Luke 3, we actually see this in the genealogy of Christ. We start to realize that every human on earth is a child of God, in one sense. The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, he's going through Jesus' genealogy, right? I'm just cutting the end because I didn't think you'd want me to read the whole genealogy to prove it to you. The son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Oh. Now this is according to the flesh. It starts off with a human parent. This is descendant. If you really think about it, Adam is the son of God. Now we know that Jesus is the son of God in a very much more special way. That's why we're children of God in a very much more special way. Because we are the children who are born of Christ. So in a very natural sense, every single person traces their lineage back to Jesus. And the best way I like to describe this is that we all have the image of God. Everyone you look at has the image of God. They're all a child of God in a very important way. This is one of the reasons why Christians are called to treat every single human they come upon with compassion and love. Not easy for some. That pushy person on the bus that kind of nails you over, right? Trying to remember that they're a child of God, image of God. It's not always the first thing that comes to your mind, the word to describe them. But that's who they are. They're all made this way. But this isn't what John's talking about in this passage, right? He rules this out. He says, not of natural descent. So the children of God that is a Christian or a follower of Jesus is a very special child of God. They're not a child of God in the same sense as everyone's a child of God. Okay? He rules it out. They're not of natural descent. This isn't what he's talking about. And you don't become a child of God by just the natural order of creation. There's a very special category of child of God. He's telling us there's a way to become a child of God that's entirely supernatural. That brings you into a new category of connection to the Creator. Not just a created being in that sense of child. A very special, intimate connection with the Creator. And how do you get to that space? It's completely through faith. Those who believe on his name are given the right to be called children of God. This is why we talk about Christianity. It's very important to understand the exclusive nature of the name of Jesus. He allows you to enter into a new category of being. Allow you to enter into a new category of relationship with the Creator. And we're told in the scriptures time and time again that you need to have faith like a child. Isn't that really interesting? The way you become a child of God is to have faith like a child. It's a very simple, very pure, and a very strong, and a very true faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he came and died for me. Very simple, yet so profound, and very difficult, actually, in many ways, to maintain that faith. So faith is what makes you a child of God, and it's very appropriate, I think, because if you realize this, like, we become a very special version of children of God. Now, try to think through, how do we understand this? If we think about the natural state of humanity, if everyone's a child of God, then how come there's a special children of God? I thought God didn't have favorites. Right? Doesn't he actually say, don't have favorites? He doesn't have favorites. So how come are we favorites? What does this look like? Well, the way I like to describe it is natural humanity is kind of like a child that has run away from home. Not for good reasons, just out of anger, out of a desire to do whatever they wanted, right? My mom is too controlling, my dad is too talkative. Right, something where, now in human cases, this might be real, right? These things happen. Parents can be flawed and there might be reasons children do this. But in this case, God has done nothing ever wrong to any human. And yet they said, I want to be free. Right? I want to go drink. I want to smoke. Yeah, I remember like that time and time again, some of my friends at school, like, I'm leaving home. Like, you're 16. Like, what are you going to do? Like, but that's what all of humanity has done to God. I don't need you. I need me. I need to be free to destroy myself. That's what humans have done. And so, yeah, they're all children of God, but they're not all children in right relationship with God. In fact, the exact opposite. All humans, when we're born into our natural state, we're all in that state of rebellion against God. We're all in that state of I don't need you. We're all in that state of I don't want you. We're all actually literally giving our heavenly parent the most horrible, heartbreaking words of rejection. I don't know if you've ever seen and experienced that. Maybe parents and moms, if you've done that, heard that, like, I hate you. I got a little angry teenager. I hate you. I can't even say it. Like, that's what we are to our heavenly parent. That's what we've all been like. They don't let me do what I want. He says, my will be done. I want to do my will be done. And so the state of being a child of God is just basically discarded. It's been dishonored. That's what humanity has done to this state. You can imagine how heartbreaking this is to God, who has love like a mother. We left the relationship, and the average human being who's walking the earth has just discarded the relationship. But now he loves them, and he even seeks after them. He has his Holy Spirit on their tail, constantly saying, come to me, follow Jesus. Right? That's the role of the Spirit, is always convicting, trying to call to repentance, trying to call them back to the Father. But that's how the average human walks the earth. I was talking to my son Justice, had his friend over yesterday, and her father came by, and he's a pastor in the Salvation Army. He was just talking about how working with the homeless and working with the addicted, and there's so many runaways, but a lot of them have good reasons for it. Home was not a good place. And what I thought was really cool is, here's someone who actually had five children of his own, five natural children, and then started fostering children. And now he's adopted a few children. I'm like, when I think of the love of God, I think of someone like that, really, truly trying to change the life. It's amazing. It's such a great picture. And I think of, you know, this is the story of God. This is what he's trying to do. Bring them into the family. Now, they might be children in the natural sense, but if they're not in the right relationship with their parent, there's no connection, right? They're not going to receive the benefits that come from being the child in the household. They're actually going to miss out on so many blessings, miss out on love, the care, all these things. And that's what's going on with humanity right now. God wants relationship with his children, all of them. There's not one that he wouldn't chase down and after. There's not one on the side of the gutter or in the tent city or anywhere. He chased them down with the love that a mother has for any child, no matter what they did. That's the love of God. He loved them so much that the Son of God himself became human to chase them down. Literally had lowered himself to the lowest levels he could, right? Entered in amongst them. Lived the lifestyle of them, became one of them. If you think of that love that God has, that's how much he cared. He took his beloved, awesome, honoring son who was good and caring to him and said, I am willing that you would go and sacrifice yourself to save as many of my children as you can. And the son himself, being God, was all the willing to do so himself, lay down his life. And we're going to see to call us brothers and sisters, co-heirs. Powerful story, the love of God. They're brought back into this right relationship. The Father loved all of his estranged children enough to do this. So what do we do with this idea of our identity being children of God? You put your faith in Jesus, you enter into his family, and now you're in a right standing. Now you have access to all of that which is the wealth of riches that are at the disposal of the Father. Your heavenly parent looks upon you and says, I will give and equip you for whatever it is you want to do. It's amazing to think this through. So the first thing I want to say is that God will do all good things for his children. Do you believe that? Does your faith include this idea that God wants to do good for you? That he's on your side. He's not your enemy, your adversary, always wishing to find a way, something that's wrong with you, in order to put you down and put you in your place. Do you really believe that about your heavenly Father? In the deep depth of your heart, he will do whatever he can. He'll chase down, he's going to try to find you. I remember when I was a little kid, me and my brother, we loved spiders. Just like trying to catch them and stuff. Right? Especially the little ones, you come and get them in your little plastic jars and you put them in there and you look at them. And we always loved catching spiders. However, there were a few spiders that we loved to look at, but we were scared to try to catch. They were big spiders, bigger ones, right? And so I remember my grandma, all 5 foot over, came over for lunch one time. And we're like, Grandma, can you catch the spider? Can you catch the spider? It's a giant, scary spider that we want, but we're scared to catch. And my little grandma, I'm sure to this day, she did not want to do this. got down on her knees, another thing, and shakes out this giant spider and captured for us. Like, yeah, grandma. That's the love of God for you. Do you recognize that? He loves you so much. I think of mothers, how they would do anything for their children. It's really true, right? As a father, I do anything for my wife and whatever she wants me to do for my children. I just start, I do anything I can for my children. But the reality is that this love that a mother has, that they were flesh of her flesh in a real, very real way. They were once, I think of that love, if I can try to think of God thinking me that way, that he'll do anything for his supernatural children, that changes the game. Now, sometimes it's hard because I don't know about you, I've come begging to God for something. Like, God, please want this, please. And sometimes it's good things, right? It's health for someone I love. And you're like, God, give me this. But if it doesn't happen, what do you say? Like, God doesn't love you? Sometimes you feel that, right? And a lot of people do. And they kind of push back and they reject. But the reality is, what I like to think about is, the Heavenly Parent has a plan that is so massive for all the children that he has to fit all their pieces together. We can't see the whole thing, right? And sometimes we come begging, like, can I have 5,000 cookies, Mother? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, no, you're so mean, I hate you. And, no, you can't have 5,000 cookies because it's actually not good for you. Now, sometimes they seem like they're good, and we can't say that we understand exactly why he doesn't give to us, but what we start to recognize is God knows what's good for the entire family. He has a family plan. He went to Costco. He's shopping for everyone. He's putting the whole thing out there, right? He's making sure he's providing for his family. And we can't understand why we didn't get half the cake. Well, maybe it's because he needs to divide between 7 billion other people. Why does this person... In the end, what I have to trust is God is the ultimate family planner. He knows exactly how to dole everything out and exactly what they need. He sees what, if he gives this to that person, what that all ends up with. And so that's why he ties all things that end up happening together for good for those who love God. Do you have faith in that? You have to have faith because you can't see it. Right? Sometimes you're like, why would you not do this? It's so simple, it'll be so good. But then we have to trust that he knows what he's doing in the end. What he lays out for the family of God will be the very best thing ever. And that's part of trusting his love as a parent. It's not easy faith, is it? But it's a powerful faith. Because then you start to realize that you can come to him and he'll give you what you need in a certain time. And this is what I think a lot of the churches kind of use that other excuse of, oh, God has so much to worry about. No, you come to him and say, Lord, I need this, and pray in Jesus' name. He would give amazing things. We've seen healings, right? He does that because he's your dad. He's like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. Do you come to him with the carefreeness of a child going to his dad going, hey dad, can I have Nintendo Switch? And if he says yes, no, no. But recognizing, oh, if he could, he will. It's the best thing in the world for everyone involved. He'll do it. You don't know what's best for everyone. He knows what's best for everyone. But what's best for you is to go to him and ask and trust that he's going to do good things. If you don't ask, you don't receive. I think that's one of the big things as children of God, we stop doing it sometimes. Have you afraid of asking from your father? I don't want to be a burden. He doesn't care about that. Literally, he asks us to ask. Do you trust that he will give good things? The fact that you're a child of God, if you put your faith in him, means that someone on your side that's bigger than you can ever truly imagine, with more resources, more backing. So let's dig into our Father, recognizing he wants good things for you. Number two is that we need to live like children of God. It says in Ephesians 5:8, live like the children of light. I was just thinking about, and I'm not using this as an example that this is good on either side, but just what happens when you don't live in good graces with your family. Think about the thing of the royal family and this whole thing with Harry and everything, like, that disruption that that causes, right? You're looking at it like, whoa, when you're not in sync, things are not good. And whoever's at fault, I don't want to get into the reality. This reality, when you're out of sync, you're in a bad spot. We need to live like we are children of light, that we're in sync with our Father, that we're living in the right direction. I think about the pics of my son and Selah, and they're in the car and they're cleaning and stuff. And I'm thinking, like, they just want to do whatever they can to please their mom. That's the motivation for living like children of light. Not from a place of like, oh, if I don't do this, he will punish me. Right? And my children come home and they have like a little try-in or something, and it's like, hey, Dad, I did this painting of you, or I did this, or that. And I'm like, it's literally, I didn't ask them for that. It's just, they want to see me happy. They want to see the smile on my face. And the smile is really big, right? And I would say, ah. This is why we do things like Christ asked us to. Or this is why we live like Christ lived. Because we recognize the joy that it brings to our Heavenly Father. Why would I not want to return to the giver of good gifts, the gifts that I've been given? Oh, thank you, Lord. Here you go. Bring you back the joy. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. Thank you, Jerry. We're bringing him, lifting back to him. You gave me the gift of voice. You gave me the gift of song. You gave me the gift of the enjoyment of music, right? Lift this back to you. And it brings him joy. I mean, to this day, I'm 47, and I still get a special feeling in my heart when I bring a smile of pride or happiness to my parents. Right? Oh, I mean, I did you proud, Dad. It feels good. Oh, Mom, you're telling your friends about me. Oh, man, that makes me happy. That's what we should be thinking about when we're thinking about our Father. Like, oh, yeah, when I did that hard thing, when I sacrificed that thing, or when I'm bringing a smile to my papa's face. This is the good news. And I realize this, like, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing like the approval of a parent. In fact, if you talk to therapists, half of the discussions are usually all about going back to the parent somehow, right? I don't know about you, but as a parent, I almost need therapy for what I'm worried about I'm going to be doing to my kids. Right? Because, like, you hear all the things, oh, your parents said this to you. Like, oh, no, what do I have back to my children? Right? Because this idea is that as children receive things from their parents, and it causes all sorts of issues, right? And I got some from mine, and I'm sure I'm passing it down. Like, that's how it goes. And so it's very, when you think about this, like, humans, we have these flaws in our parents. You know, some of our parents just didn't care, never give recognition, would never give love, would never give any sense of you did well. Well done. It was always like, oh, you could have done a little better. You got 90, you should have had 100, right? Like, we're literally talking about, this is the things that can cause all sorts of issues for people. It could be neglect. It could be, you know, lashing out in anger in a bad mood or something like that. It could be just unrealistic expectations. People, you know, the classic, like, parents just actually literally just abandon them, never come back. Like, this is really damaging stuff that parents can do to their children, and yet we still want their approval. Despite the little bits are here. Now, what I'm thankful is, like, whatever issues I have that maybe my parents gave me, the goodness they gave to me was way bigger, way better, right? So I'm thankful for that. That's why I love to be a parent. But think about God. He doesn't pass down any issues to you. He hasn't done any bad things. Any issues that you have coming from God is probably because of your misconception of who He is, based upon maybe your experiences. Because He's not looking at you with those things like, oh, you should have done better. He didn't abandon you. He will never abandon you. And if we start to recognize this, who He really is, He is the perfect parent, then we can start to live in a way that realizes, if I live in the light, I'm bringing giant smiles to my God's face. Even the Old Testament talks about in Zephaniah, like, He rejoices over you with singing. Imagine God doing a little dance. It's like a parent, talking about soccer parents and hockey parents and how they can get too controlled. But see them screaming, going crazy when their child scores a goal, right? That's God for you. Do you have that as part of your identity? The reality of God's love for you at that level? I say it's hard. I think a lot of people, it's hard for us to actually go there. But that's what he wants us to recognize in our identity. That's how he thinks of us. He died for you. God took on flesh. Jesus took on flesh. So I think we should grow in our sense of awe and wonder at this God's love for us. It should motivate us in a special way to please our heavenly parents. Not out of duty, but out of love. The motivation to live a good and a pure life isn't because your heavenly parent is cruel and exacting. It's exactly the opposite. It's because he's loving you with a love that has no strings attached. A mom who's just doting over her beloved child. And this selfless love of God moves me and it makes me want to serve him and live in a way that makes him proud. And I hope that it's a part of your heart too. And the final thing I want to say is this idea of God and his love for us as children of God. The fact that we've entered into this identity as we are children of God for real is that this should help us in our hearts also want to see the family of God grow. And we all know about sibling rivalry and how, you know, talking about how Megan was praying for twins at the time. And then Megan said to Selah, like, you probably wouldn't want a twin. She's like, no. She wants mama for herself. Like, she's the only girl, right? So I thought it was funny. Like, we have these things, like, we don't necessarily want to spread the love. Bishop's already coming in trying to take it all, right? And you can see it in him, like, no, he wants mommy's attention sometimes, right? That's how we are as humans. We want to take all the attention. But really, the true reality is, when I see, like, my older children looking at Bishop, they're so happy he's there. They literally were asking, can we have another, want a baby, a brother or sister? Because they were excited about that. When you're older and more mature, you realize, like, the more the merrier in the family, right? And that should be really, truly how we look at God's family. I want more people to be part of God's family. I want them to be children of God. I want them to recognize the love of the Father. I want them to be able to experience this love that's like a mother's love that's undying. When I was talking to this gentleman, the Salvation Army pastor, he was talking about how he's an evangelist. You know, people who have that love in their hearts, right? Just like going to the streets. He was talking about how he went down 7 in the morning to try to get into the shelter to talk to people before they had their first hit of fentanyl. So he'd actually talked to them before they were able to be talking. I was like, wow, he's like, that's, you know, getting up extra early, bring down, try, do whatever he can to help the family of God grow. It's a pretty powerful thing. Now, I don't think we're all on the front lines like that, right? We're not all called the same way, but we're all called to be part of the family of God, to represent the family of God, and help in the family of God grow. And that might be, you know, some people are knitting socks, some people are giving the socks out. Some people are you know, helping make meals, some people are in the background doing accounting, whatever it is, we all have different gifts. In the family, we're all serving, but the family itself should be looking to grow the family. We can't forget that. That's why I love your prayer, talking about someone coming in, hopefully seeing a son. Because that's really, in the end, part of being a child of God is wanting to see more children of God born. Right. Because then they can experience the love that transforms our hearts. And so how are we doing this? And I think that's something we should all be asking ourselves. How am I helping the family of God grow? There's different ways it's done. Again, it's back, front lines, whatever it is. But what am I doing in the family of God for the family of God? To help it grow, to help it become, because, but the point isn't really what you're doing. It's actually, the point is that together the family is representing Christ to the world. And if we do that together, then it's going to be amazing. We're not like, you know, children fighting over, that's my mom, that's my. We're people who are like, come meet my father. Do you want a love that's unlike any other mother on earth? Come, I got to show you something. Believe in Jesus. And you will be a child of God.
Thank you for listening to the Groundswell podcast. For more info or to support Groundswell, check out www.thegroundswellchurch.com. Grace and peace.